It's already open lines. I got a question for you. These churches out in California, Oregon, Chicago, all over the country, really, where illegal immigration is a problem, but especially in the southern part of the United States, churches are electing to harbor illegal immigrants to prevent them from being deported. Now, some of these have made the news and some of them haven't. I've got some questions for you as we listen to a National Public Radio story on a California church that's providing sanctuary for illegal immigrants. A lot of questions, in fact. Think about this. If your pastor came to you and said, look, there's an illegal immigrant or a family in town. They're afraid of being deported. They're just trying to work here and send money back to their family. The church is a place of sanctuary. This is wrong. We should give sanctuary to this illegal immigrant family. What would you say to your pastor? Now, if you think this shouldn't be done by churches, what kind of penalties do you think churches should be required to exact if they do harbor illegal immigrants? 1-877-623-MYIE. It's audio open lines. 1-877-623-MYIE. We're coming to you live this Wednesday, September the 10th. You can also email your questions or your comments, the answers to these questions, to us right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org. And then there's the twist of, say, and this has actually been a case in several news stories, a mother with a son or a daughter. The mother is an illegal immigrant. The child born here in the United States is a citizen of this country. And yet, can you deport the mother and not deport the child? Can you keep the child with its mother and deport them both? And the churches that are harboring these illegal immigrants say, this is what we're trying to prevent. We're trying to keep families together. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Here's the story on that California church that's a sanctuary for illegal immigrants from National Public Radio.
For more than a year now, a small church north of Los Angeles has attracted the attention of activists on both sides of the debate over immigration reform. An illegal immigrant facing deportation has taken shelter at the church, which is part of a national faith-based coalition known as the New Sanctuary Movement. More from reporter Gloria Hillard.
Mike Hilden is probably not someone you would peg as a leader of an anti-illegal immigration group. The 27-year-old, dressed in black high-top skinny jeans and a striped T-shirt, blends right in with the young latte and laptop crowd at this L.A. coffee bar.
It sounds so cliche to say activist. I'm just someone who's exercising his First Amendment rights, and I wish more Americans would do that.
For a year, every Sunday, Hilden or other members of Save Our State demonstrated outside the United Church of Christ in Simi Valley, California. The reason for his protest sits in the third row pew. She's balancing a hymnal in one hand and a 16-month-old child in the other.
As a person with a heart and with feelings, I empathize with her situation, but she got herself into this situation. A lot of people don't ask themselves, why is she being ordered deported? I think she snuck into the country twice.
Yo salgo para de la recámara hacia la cocina.
When I went from the bedroom to the kitchen.
Her name is Liliana. She's a 30-year-old illegal immigrant and has been living at the church for a year. Both Liliana and the church officials refused to give her last name. When Liliana was 19, she was detained at the California border after she tried to cross with a fake birth certificate. A few weeks later, she tried again, this time crossing through the treacherous Arizona desert. She was successful. Once here, she met her husband. He was here legally and would later become a U.S. citizen. In 2004, Liliana applied for permanent residency. She was turned down, though, because of her earlier border detention and was flagged for deportation.
All right, now there's part of the story on this California church. An illegal immigrant. Now listen, the illegal immigrant is trying their hardest to gain citizenship, albeit after entering the country illegally. And the church says, hey, rather than deport this woman, let's give this woman sanctuary. Now remember, local and state authorities are not really anxious to go into churches and pull people out, especially when they're making their home there in the church. It just doesn't look good. And so, as far as I know, so far, authorities haven't made any real moves toward say, going in and dragging out an illegal immigrant from any churches anywhere in the country? Should churches be doing this? If so, why? If not, why not? And if not, what penalties should be exacted from churches if they harbor illegal immigrants? It's Audio Open Lines. I'm Todd Wilk, and I want your answer to those questions. Call during this break. Really good time to call. 1-877-623-MY-IE.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener supported. We rely upon you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. That's Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A remarkable event happened recently. A 14-year-old girl who had just given birth abandoned her baby in the cold Argentina night where it's now winter. But a farmer's dog found the baby, picked her up, and carried her to her puppies. Hours later, the farmer found the mother dog keeping the baby warm through the cold winter night. The baby is now doing fine. Police later located the mother, who admitted abandoning her child. What makes this situation so remarkable is a dog knew this baby's life was precious and needed to be protected. If an animal understands the value of human life, why can't we? While America's abortion mills are busy aborting over 3,000 preborn children in a single day, this animal is saving the life of a baby.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about churches that harbor illegal immigrants. There are more and more of them. And of course, illegal immigration is a problem, isn't going away. Some churches' solution is harbor the illegal immigrants. They say they're keeping families together, mothers and their children. They say that they are fighting an unjust system of deportation. They say that they're trying to help people who are simply trying to enter this country and are desperate in their own country circumstances. What do you make of those arguments? 1-877-623-MY-IE or talkback at issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on the program, Pastor's Roundtable on the Daily Prayers in Luther's Small Catechism. It's one of those often neglected sections of Luther's writings there where he has prayers for morning and for evening and for before and after meals. Are these just incidental things or is this really an integral part of a Christian's prayer life? Pastor Mark Smith of Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Crestwood, Missouri, Pastor Mark Buto of Bethel Lutheran Church in DeCoin, Illinois, and Pastor Charles Lehman of St. John Lutheran Church in Accident, Maryland will be part of the Pastor's Roundtable tomorrow on Issues Etc. It's Audio Open Lines talking about churches that are sanctuaries, not just for Sunday morning, but for illegal immigrants as well. Your thoughts, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Or talk back at issuesetc.org, right in the middle of the story from National Public Radio.
Speaking through an interpreter, Liliana says last May, immigration agents knocked on her door.
Dice, sí, y venimos por ti.
Yes, we are here to deport you.
Lloraba y le decía, no me lleves, no me lleves.
And she was crying, saying, please don't take me.
Le dije, ¿qué va a pasar con mis hijos?
What's going to happen to my children?
Her two other children started crying, she says, and she pleaded with the agents to give her 5 days. During that time, she went into sanctuary with her youngest child. Liliana says she is just a mother who does not want to be separated from her family.
Es muy triste para mí decir si tengo que salir.
If she has to leave.
La escuela de mis hijos está aquí.
This children's school is here.
Y un futuro mejor para ellos está aquí.
And a better future for her children is here.
Y lo digo por mi experiencia.
Liliana is one of at least 13 illegal immigrants who are receiving sanctuary at houses of worship across the country. Dr. June Gowdy, pastor of the United Church of Christ, says in helping Liliana, her congregation is honoring a long tradition of the Christian church.
The church is called to enact justice. And this case of justice came to our doorstep, and we could not turn away, you know, we could not turn them away.
Mike Hilden sees it differently.
People talk about social justice when they talk about illegal immigrant rights, but what about, you know, the rule of law?
It is U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, that is responsible for enforcing immigration laws. Although churches provide no legal protection, to date, the agency has not made any arrests on church properties. When asked about the federal agency's policy regarding churches, ICE spokesperson Virginia Kice would only provide this statement.
ICE conducts enforcement actions at appropriate times, in appropriate places, and our overarching consideration in all these situations is the safety of our officers, the safety of individuals we've targeted for arrest, and of course the safety of the general public.
Mike Hilden believes that's not good enough.
Because we think it's setting this horrible precedent, the government is, by not going in there and taking her. This is 2008. It's not 1870 anymore. You know, we only have so much space, so many resources, and at some point we have to say enough is enough.
Pastor Gowdy says the new sanctuary movement was created to put a human face on the issue of illegal immigration, a face that is being overlooked.
What's getting lost in the shuffle is the individual lives that are being disrupted and destroyed.
Since the year anniversary of their church vigil, Save Our State has taken a hiatus. But Hilden says the protests will continue, along with the national debate. For NPR News, I'm Gloria Hillard.
All right, I want your reaction to these churches that are harboring illegal immigrants. For the rest of this hour, audio open lines, Issues Etc. is coming to you live this Wednesday, September the 10th. Let's hear from you. I know you have an opinion on this. I mean, you look at the polls, everyone seems to have an opinion on illegal immigration. This is just another wrinkle in that issue. Should churches be harboring illegal immigrants? If so, why so? If not, why not? What kind of penalties should churches be required to pay if they do this? And what about breaking up families? Mothers and children, the children may well be citizens born in this country. 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-MY-IE, or email us with questions or comments on this subject, talkback@issuesetc.org. What if an illegal immigrant came to your church door? Sunday morning, they show up there, maybe mom and a couple kids, give us sanctuary. They're going to deport us in 2 days. What do you do? What if your pastor turns to you and says, what do you think I ought to do? How do you answer? 1-877-623-MY-IE. You see, it's real easy to have kind of the theoretical answer to these questions when it comes to illegal immigrants. You close the borders, build a wall, do all these kind of things. That's good. Fine. Some of those may be real solutions. But an illegal immigrant and her children come to the doorstep of your church, what do you say right then, right there? 1-877-623-MY-IE. talkback@issuesetc.org. An email from Paul in O'Fallon, Illinois. He says, as Christians, we show compassion for people. I believe that a congregation could either support harboring or not. There are options that a congregation could exercise in helping illegals, financial organizations, in illegal home countries, citizens' assistance, without harboring, and share the love of Christ by sharing the gospel, says Paul. He concludes, the church organizations that harbor illegal aliens should have the same punishment levied against them as a business that harbors illegals, and that should also they should also have their tax-exempt status removed. Breaking the laws has its consequences. And what if your pastor—thank you, Paul. What if your pastor says, we're willing to take those consequences? we'll harbor the illegal immigrants, we'll give up our tax-exempt status, and we will pay whatever penalty the law requires of us. But we're doing justice. How would you respond? 1-877-623-MY-IE or talkbackatissuesetc.org. Sharon in St. Louis writes, it seems that the church is violating the fourth commandment. That would be honor your father and mother and thereby other worldly authorities. I understand, she says, that it is important to keep families together, but should not the church be encouraging the people to follow the laws of the land? Well, the church normally encourages people to follow the laws of the land. What about the rest of you? Talk back at issuesetc.org or 1-877-623-MY-IE. Jake in St. Paul, Minnesota says, as with most controversial things in life, I believe that you have to take this as a case-by-case basis. In this woman's case, the government should show her mercy and give her citizenship so she can stay with her husband and child. I don't understand what's so dangerous about a woman that wants to be a good mother and a wife for her family. Don't we need more people like that in this country? Well, there's another solution. The church can petition the government to say, make an exception in this case. Now, there are other options, but should the option of sanctuary for illegal immigrants be open to churches? Should churches be doing this? If so, why so? If not, why not? 1-877-623-MY-IE or talkback at issuesetc.org. Put yourself in their shoes for a moment. For the sake of argument, put yourself in the shoes of someone who lives in a country where within eyeshot, within sight of your little hovel of a home, you can see a land of prosperity and peace and protection and potential. And you're not afraid of working. And your children are going to grow up in the same hovel and terrible circumstances that you grow up in, unless you find a way into that country. Honestly, tell me that if you were a Mexican citizen, living as many Mexican citizens do live, and you saw the land of prosperity on the other side of the fence, that you wouldn't at least think about visiting illegally. Maybe you'd even do it. And I'm asking you to honestly put yourself in their shoes. Take away your cable television. Take away your sewers. Take away your running water. Take away your car. Take away all of those things, your air conditioning. What it would be like to live in Mexico as someone at the bottom rung of society. And then you find yourself in this country having entered, snuck in illegally. And they're going to deport you, and you're afraid not only of going back, but you're also afraid that everything you've worked for so long will come to naught. You go to a church's doorstep, and you say, can I have sanctuary? And the pastor says, no, you're illegal. 1-877-623-MY-IE or talk back at issuesetc.org. We have parents who are illegal, children who are citizens. Should there be an exception in that case for the parents to be able to stay, at least provisionally stay? Should the authorities simply do what they do have the authority to do, which is go into these churches and take these illegal immigrants out? I mean, if you're not in favor of churches that harbor illegal immigrants, should the authorities go in and take them out of the churches? 1-877-623-MY-IE, talkback at issuesetc.org. Would you support your church's attempt to harbor an illegal immigrant? They're everywhere. They're in every city. They're in every part of our country. 1-877-623-MY-IE. It's audio open lines. When we come back, I want your answer to this question. I know you have an opinion. I know you have thoughts. I know you have arguments to make. 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org.
Should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now?
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Pamela Nielsen, Carrie Goodwiller, Granny Miller, Amber Barr, Juanita Watt, Debbie Peck, Rebecca Fincher, Lorraine Meir, Jean Veit, and Jean Perry. Thanks for your support.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Melissa Sinlinger, Steve Stearns, Paul Bulow, Robert McCarty, Gordon Swore, Ruth Butler, Nancy Melanch, Steve Molson, Carolyn Westman, and David Kapishka. Thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 minutes in audio open lines. A question that I know everyone has some kind of answer for. Should churches be harboring illegal immigrants? Inside the big issue of illegal immigration, there is this other issue of churches that have become sanctuaries. There's a national sanctuary movement among churches to harbor illegal immigrants that come to their door. So an illegal immigrant comes to the door of your church and says, they're going to deport me and my children. What do you do? 1-877-623-MY-IE. 877-623-MY-IE or talk back at issuesetc.org. In about 10 minutes, we'll be talking with Jennifer Roback Moore, starting hour two of Issues Etc. Teen sex and abstinence-based sex education. Apparently, that's what Governor Palin's daughter was getting. And wow, she's 17, ended up unmarried and pregnant. Does that mean abstinence-based sex education is a failure? We'll find out from Jennifer Roback Moore in just a few minutes. How should a church be punished, if at all, for harboring illegal immigrants? Mike in Pittsburgh, an honest listener, he says, I'm not going to speak on the question fully at hand, but to the point about the church having to obey every law because of the fourth commandment, this is most of the time something like 99.9%, but there are times when the church must not obey the law of the land. Not saying this goes to the current debate about illegal immigration, but if the law is unjust and violates God's law, we must obey God's law first. As to the debate, writes Mike, I don't know what I'd do. I'm not even sure I could say anything if I was faced with it. On the one hand, we have the duty to help those who are worse off than us. But on the other hand, they are here illegally. I just don't know, says Mike. Thank you very much for listening in Pittsburgh, Mike. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-MY-IE. 877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. I wonder, it seems as though the churches that do this, there was that Chicago church that did this, a church that already was doing outreach to the poor and the indigent and the inner city. You don't often hear about the well-heeled suburban churches being part of this illegal immigration sanctuary movement. And I'm talking about the big box churches out in the suburbs, where most everybody who shows up there is, you know, double income, few kids kind of demographic. I'm talking about the happy clappy churches where you wouldn't know that there are people who are poor in the world if you didn't pay real close attention. The ones with the billboards out on the freeway that make membership in their church look like the American dream come true. It's usually those churches that are already working with people who are down and out here in this country, and then they say, well, here's an illegal immigrant. Is there a connection there? Maybe it's just me. It's one thing is for sure. The illegal immigrants aren't going away, and they may show up at your church's door to ask for sanctuary. Well, Senator Joe Biden has made some statements yesterday about stem cell research. Let's find out more on this story from CNN.
Exclusive issue of stem cell research took center stage on the campaign trail today. It's a subject that continues to divide America and the candidates. Today, the McCain camp accused Senator Biden of sinking to a new low by using the stem cell debate to attack Governor Sarah Palin. But was Biden really getting personal? For a fact check, here's CNN's Gary Tuchman.
America's most well-known parent of a child with Down syndrome may be the woman who wants to be vice president. That's why it was quite notable when we heard this from the man who wants to be vice president.
I hear all this talk about how the Republicans are going to work in dealing with parents who have both the joy, because there's joy to it as well, the joy and the difficulty of raising a child who has a developmental disability, who were born with a birth defect. Well, guess what, folks? If you care about it, why don't you support stem cell research? Why are you not comparing about how you're going to do this stuff?
Joe Biden and Barack Obama support embryonic stem cell research.
Should Alaska allow stem cell research?
Sarah Palin was asked about the topic when she ran for governor of Alaska in 2006.
No, stem cell research that would ultimately end in destruction of life, I couldn't support.
It's not clear if Palin supports stem cell research from non-embryonic sources. So were Biden's comments directed at Palin, who has said she will be a friend and advocate in the White House to parents of children with disabilities? A Biden spokesman said no. Palin's opposition to embryonic stem cell research is similar to President Bush's. But interestingly, her running mate John McCain supports most forms of stem cell research, including embryonic stem cell use under certain conditions. He made this statement during an MSNBC Politico debate.
This is a tough issue for those of us in the pro-life community. I would remind you that these stem cells are either going to be discarded or perpetually frozen. We need to do what we can to relieve human suffering. It's a tough issue. I support federal funding.
We don't know if John McCain and Sarah Palin have discussed their differences on this issue among themselves. We do know the McCain campaign is infuriated with Biden's words.
A McCain spokesman issued this statement. Barack Obama's running mate sunk to a new low today, launching an offensive debate over who cares more about special needs children. Playing politics with this issue is disturbing and indicative of a desperate campaign. But the Democrats say this is not a clash of personalities, just policies.
You never could accuse us of not leading with our hearts, but in this case, our hearts are in sync with our heads.
On this issue, the two vice presidential candidates have their heads in different places. Gary Tuchman, CNN, Chicago.
About an hour from now, we're going to get reaction from our guest, Greg Kokel of Stand to Reason, on some of the statements that Senator Biden made yesterday on embryonic stem cell research. Stay tuned for that. Here's some more email on the immigration issue in the church sanctuaries. Carrie in Minnesota says, doesn't Jesus say to pay taxes and to obey the laws of the land? Unless it's because someone was going to be persecuted for going home. In Mexico, that's not the case. I'd say that the church shouldn't harbor them, but encourage them to go home. Wouldn't that be the right way? Asks Carrie. And Paul emails us. He says, for me, I would say no to harboring. These people have broken the law and need to be dealt with appropriately. With compassion, a church could provide assistance like advocacy to the U.S. government agencies, financially help the aliens being deported, assist putting programs together in Mexico to help those deported, citizens assistant programs for those desiring to become citizens, etc. Paul and Carrie, thank you very much for your email. Still a few minutes in audio open lines. What about the rest of you on this sanctuary for illegal aliens in many churches? 1-877-623-MYIE. talkback@issuesetc.org. 1-877-623-MYIE. talkback@issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on the program, The Religious and Spiritual Lives of American Teenagers, Dr. Christian Smith says it is moral therapeutic deism, not necessarily Christianity in any shape, matter, or form. We'll also talk with Dr. Albert Moeller of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary about the new atheists. Also tomorrow, Pastor's Roundtable on the daily prayers of Luther's Small Catechism. You may not even know them, but they kind of form the warp and the woof of the Christian's prayer life. Morning, evening, before and after meals. We'll talk about it tomorrow with our roundtable of pastors. Mike in Rockford, Illinois writes, historically, I think that the church stood up to injustice and harbored people from government when the determination was made that the actions of the government were clearly against Scripture. Nazi Germany, slavery come to mind, he says. Do we decide to go against the laws and do this? Does the sad story of a family split up rise to the level of the persecution of the Jews? Especially when the root of the tragedy is the fact that someone broke a law. Either way you look at it, it is not an easy issue. You're right, Mike. Thanks for listening in Rockford. Not an easy issue. The church here stands, someone emailed us early saying that this is a case-by-case basis. Now, I think that particular approach has a certain wisdom to it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that each and every illegal immigrant that shows up at the door should be, the church can decide whimsically, arbitrarily, whether or not they're going to harbor illegal immigrants or not. There shouldn't be anything arbitrary about it because we are dealing with the laws under which we're all expected to live. But we're also dealing with people who may be in desperate circumstances, partly through their own making and partly through circumstances beyond their control. That's why it has to be case by case. That's why a church has to be able to say at some point, here's the exception. If the rule is no sanctuary for the illegal immigrant, here's the exception. Or if the church says, yes, we're going to harbor illegal immigrants, but I think a church that does this needs to stand right up and say, we're doing it. Authorities, here they are. You know they're here. We're going to let them stay in our building. If you come in and take them out, you come in and take them out. But as long as they're in our church, we'll continue to take care of them. But you know that they're here. We're not hiding them from you. And if you want to punish us for it, then punish us for it. Now, that's honest. That's honest. A church that says we're going to harbor illegal immigrants and then say, but they shouldn't pay any penalty under the law for it, or they should be able to do it without telling the authorities. Secretly do these things. Well, then you're breaking even more laws. Then you're not acting honestly. And if the church should do one thing, anything, when it comes to the society outside, it should be honest about what it's doing inside and outside. When we come back from this break, Jennifer Roback Morse joins us to talk about teen sex and abstinence-based sex education. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned through the break.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
If you don't like a noodle soup, we'll serve you macaroni.
Ha 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 ha